Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter 13 and verse 10. And he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, and was bowed together, and could in no wise lift up herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him, and said unto her, Woman, thou art loose from thine infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight, and glorified God. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation, because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day, and said unto the people, There are 6 days in which men ought to work, and then therefore come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day. The Lord then answered him and said, Thou hypocrite, doth not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass from the stall, and lead him away to watering? And not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whose Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day. And when he had said these things, all his adversaries were ashamed, and all the people rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. This account is only recorded in Luke's gospel. And we know Luke was a physician, so it really makes perfect sense that Luke would include a medical miracle in his writings. Now, he gives us a lot of detail about this miracle in the fact of how it came about. We know nothing, though, about the woman, other than the fact that she was bound with this infirmity. I want to talk about three things that Jesus saw tonight. Luke portrays Jesus as the Son of Man. His gospel is different from any other gospel, as the gospel writers, I should say. One gospel, four different writers, and they all write differently. And Luke writes in a way, it's like a story, it's like a narrative. And so he writes this story showing Jesus' human side. And so we see here how Jesus will do anything he can to make sure that one of his own, and sometimes who people think shouldn't get the miracle, does get the miracle. Three things about this text I want us to notice tonight. First of all, Jesus noticed this woman who was tormented by a burden. Tormented by a burden. The Bible says, verse 11, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years. The world is burdened today. Can we all say amen to that? A lot of Christians are burdened today. And the only way to get rid of that burden is to first recognize what type of burden it is. This burden that this woman was experiencing was demonic in nature. You say, Brian, how do you know that? Well, Jesus tells us at the end of the text. He says, whom Satan hath bound these 18 years. It was demonic in nature. Now, it doesn't mean that all illnesses and all infirmities are from the devil. Because some things just happen because of life. And so, people today need to realize, and a lot of televangelists, excluding us of course, a lot of televangelists believe that a cold is a demon. But I want to notice tonight that when people are possessed with demonic spirits, it always shows up physically. And there's a manifestation of it physically. Doesn't mean that everybody's possessed, but some people are oppressed. Calray said that before. But this woman had this infirmity, this spirit of infirmity, an evil spirit from the devil for 18 years. And it came out of her and it showed itself by her bowing over. And she couldn't look up. And you can imagine somebody crippled walking over with her spine. Severe scoliosis, I guess, would be the correct term for it. She was bent over and could not lift up herself. So this burden was demonic in nature. And also this burden, she had a delay in her healing. 18 years. 18 years. I noticed something as I was studying these demonic spirits, especially on the physical side. They're around for a long time. That's why demonic spirits don't stay aren't around colds and coughs, because those can go away within a matter of days. But really, when you're attacked with a spirit of infirmity from the devil, it will last a long time. And sometimes it takes a while for that to manifest itself, but it will manifest itself if it is a demonic spirit. And so this woman, for 18 years, was bound. That's a long time. And I don't know, I can just tell she was in the synagogue that day. Me and Cal was talking about this earlier this week. I don't think this was her first time to church. I think she had been there before. Kyle Ray was telling me that she really shouldn't have been there, to be honest with you. She was a woman. Not only that, she was a crippled woman. And she wasn't allowed on those premises. But I think she had searched the world over trying to find some help. But she was going to the right place. And she was there. And we know from this Scripture tonight that there is no accidents again when it comes to God. Everything was in the amount of timing and to show that Jesus was who He said He was. So there was demonic in nature. This burden caused her a delay in her healing. And let's notice something thoroughly about this burden, that the deliverance could only come from God. Could only come from God. There are some burdens that only God can take care of. You realize that? Don't ask God to heal you of cancer, of lung cancer caused by cigarettes, if you don't stop smoking. It won't happen. God will not do for you what you can do for yourself. But this burden was of the devil. And when those spirits of infirmities come upon us, when attacks from the devil come and burden us down to where, even though you may be a Christian, even though you may come to church, this woman, I think, went to church on a regular basis, but still she was oppressed by a spirit of infirmity. That tells me that there are people in here tonight that have dealt for years with a spirit of infirmity. They have dealt with evil spirits. And the Bible says that we battle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness in high places and the rulers of this world. And so there are people here tonight that I believe with all my heart that are suffering. They've been suffering for years with a demonic spirit that's trying to tear them down. And you need to realize tonight, first of all, that it is of the devil. And second of all, that your deliverance can only come through Jesus Christ. Look what it said. When Jesus said, "Woman, thou art loose from thine infirmity," He laid His hand and immediately she was made straight. She did not force herself up. The Bible says the power of God made her that way. It made her straight. You know why I don't believe? Because she didn't even ask for this miracle. She didn't. Jesus noticed her. And noticed her and wanted to show these people who He said He was. And so He laid hands, "Woman, thou art loose from thine infirmity," and she was made straight. And I'm telling you tonight, some of you need to straighten up. And sometimes that can only come from Jesus Christ. You're bowed over. You can't even look at people in the eye because you're bound with an evil spirit. You say, "Brian, how can that happen?" I'm telling you, it can happen. There are people here tonight that'll come in here, that'll come into service after service and raise their hand and shout the glory down and go home and look at pornography all day. Am I getting too real for you? It's an evil spirit. And you can't look at us in the face. You can't look at other people in the face, because you know what it is? It's a spirit of guilt on you. And I'm telling you, the only thing that can release you from that infirmity is Jesus Christ. And He'll make you straight. So Jesus noticed that this woman was tormented by a burden. But then Jesus got in trouble for breaking the law. These men regarded religion over salvation. Now, what religion does, it esteems its principles above the people. But salvation does the opposite. It esteems the people over the principles. And when it comes to Jesus Christ, He will stop at nothing. In fact, He wrote the law. He can make the rules as He goes. You know what? That used to upset me a lot. whenever we play pickup games of basketball and we try to lay down the rules right at the beginning. You're trying to play a game. Then you had all this joker the whole time that wanted to make up the rules as he went along. But when it comes to God, I'm glad he does that. Because there are some times when religion looks at us and says, you shouldn't be doing that. And religion looked at this woman and said, you shouldn't be healing her. You shouldn't be doing that. It's the Sabbath day. But God will do anything he can. Because he's God. We shouldn't have to ask him. He's God. And so, he will stop at nothing. If it's a storm, he'll walk on water. If it's a corpse, he'll raise the dead. If it's an issue of blood, he'll arrest the issue. He'll do anything he can to make sure that you get your miracle. Isn't that wonderful? Because he puts people above the principles. Also, let's notice that religious people can fight the wrong battles. Religious people can fight the wrong battles. They were so concerned about breaking the Sabbath, and they just witnessed someone being broke from an 18-year bondage. A miracle happened right in front of their eyes, but yet they were so worried about their religion. And because Jesus didn't do it their way. And I'm telling you tonight, there's a church world of people out there that will fight the wrong battles. We were talking about this today. People still haven't got over the fact that Rubyville is proactive. We would rather pray that the Holy Spirit lead us not into temptation than to get into the sin and try to get out of it. But people look at us and say, what in the world are you doing? You don't wait till people get in trouble and then rescue them from it? Well, yeah, if the case arises. But we would rather let the Holy Spirit guide the leaders of this church to tell people when the Holy Spirit directs. And let's say for Donnie, and I know something's going to happen to Donnie. If the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, Donnie, you're going to have a car wreck tomorrow, and I didn't tell you about it, wouldn't that be wrong with me not to tell you what the Holy Spirit told me to tell you? But yet people today can go by service after service after the Holy Spirit tells you and puts it upon your heart. We need to tell those people because that's the difference in being proactive and reactive. We'd rather save you from a life of trouble rather than try to bail you out of jail. And so because of that, you hear all kinds of lies and rumors about this church and about our preacher. And let me just stop right here and tell you this. If you hear something about our preacher, don't go telling everybody else what you heard. Come to him first. There's a biblical way of dealing with things. So follow the Bible way. Never seen a day when everyone wants to hold the dagger and find the dirt on Calvin Ray Evans. I got news for you. There ain't no dirt. Amen? Amen. Let's move on. But religious people can fight the wrong battles. And lastly, let's notice not only did Jesus notice that she was tormented by a burden and he got in trouble for breaking the law, but Jesus thought outside of the box. That term, thinking outside the box, is an American term that kind of we came up with for people that can come up with new ways to do old things. And you know what? There is, if you can are a good thinker, there's a job out there for you. There's major corporations that are hiring people just to sit around and think of new things. Isn't that wonderful? But that's what America's come up with. They've come up with people that think outside the box. Now, if Jesus would have thought like all those around him, this woman would have never been healed. Why did Jesus choose to heal her? Well, it's like this. When you have a woman who thinks outside the box, that meets Jesus who thinks outside the box, then miracles can happen. You say, Brian, how do you know this woman thought outside the box? Because for 18 years she came to church and she was sick. Some of you feel like coming to church and you don't. But this woman didn't even feel like coming to church and she did. She thought outside the box because she was thinking. What if she decided to stay home that day because she was too tired? She never would have got a miracle. Because she was thinking. Every time she walked into the synagogue, she was thinking, this could be the day. This could be the day. And we need to wake up every single day that I'm thinking, my children are going to get saved today. You and I have been thinking that God's going to heal me today. And you know what? That day could be the day that it happens. But you got to think. You got to think. When you think outside the box, people think you're stupid and crazy. They do. What in the world is Rubio going to do with a big church out there? Well, are they doing it just to be seen? Well, it's going to be a huge building. Of course we're going to be seen. But we're not doing that to be seen. If we were doing that to be seen, we'd build a multi-million dollar thing that was beautiful and glass and all that. No, we're not going to do that. We're going to do it to house people that need to be see Jesus. That's why we're doing those things. But people look at us and we're thinking outside the box and we're trying to do things that are innovative. We're trying to stay one step ahead of it. People look at us like we're stupid and we're crazy. But you know what? They can just go ahead and die. We're going to think a little bit. Because I've been thinking that church is going to get built. And I've been thinking that when the church is built, we're going to see hundreds of people come to Jesus Christ. Because I've been thinking. Every tangible thing that we're seeing right now started out as a thought in someone's mind. That just shows you how powerful your mind is. And you can be no more creative than you are thoughtful. Some of you just need to think. I know Dad, when I do something stupid, what are you thinking? Then his next line is, I know you weren't. And I look at some of you and I'm thinking, what were you thinking? What were you thinking looking like that? What were you thinking wearing that to church? You're not thinking. Because people aren't thinking about God when they got to look at you all day. Good preaching right there. Don't ever underestimate the power of the mind. But look, I told you Jesus was thinking outside of the box because of this. Look what he said. Thou hypocrite, doth not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away to water? He said, when you need to think outside the box, you go ahead and do it. But it's not right for me to think outside the box. See, this woman had been in a stall for 18 years. But Jesus knew what would happen if he could loose her and take her to the water. He knew what she could be. And see, that's the thing. A lot of us, we praise God and we should. Believe me, we should. We've been doing it here tonight over what God has saved us from. But sometimes we need to thank God on what He saved us to. Oh yeah, I am glad that 25 years ago that God loosed me from the bondage of sin and took me out of that man-made stall, that box, and He took me outside of the box. But thank God I'm more grateful today that He's leading me to the water. Woo! Hallelujah! Because there I can find contentment. There I can find peace. There I can find joy. There I can find restoration. Yes, I am glad what He saved me from. But I'm not dwelling in the past. I've been thinking that God is about ready to do a brand new work. Hallelujah. And some of you, whoa, I feel good tonight. And some of you just need to start thinking. You're down on yourself. You're depressed. You're discouraged over what was. And Jesus is trying to loose you from the stall and take you to the water. But I'm telling you, you need to start praising Him for where you're going. But Brian, I can't see where I'm going. That's why you got to praise Him. That's why it's called faith. And faith comes when you think. When God spoke this world to existence, it started out as a thought. And He spoke what His thought was, and it became. So if you think that God is going to heal you, and you know God's going to heal you, and you tell it that God is going to heal you, and you have the faith and assurance, you know what will happen? God will heal you. What did the Bible say? Whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are pure, I don't remember the whole verse, but they said, think on these things. And Debbie said it tonight, when you're not thinking on the things of God, you usually are thinking about bad stuff. That's why whenever bad thoughts come in my mind or temptations come my way, I start thinking. Howard, I have to change this pump. I had to do it this evening before I came to church. Whenever I have to change that, I start thinking that there's going to be a day when I ain't going to need that. And you know what? I don't worry about it. Whenever I start thinking and getting depressed over, I'll never see my brother-in-law saved. And then I go back a few months ago, and you can think I'm crazy all you want to, but I don't care. I've been thinking. I dream that my brother-in-law walked down the aisle and got saved. You say, well, that's just a dream. You had pizza before you went dead. I probably did, but I've been thinking. Amen? And some of you just need to start thinking. You've been bound in this depression and this disparity and all this despondency. And God's trying to take you from the stall. He's trying to get you to think outside the box. Because outside the box, He's going to lead you to the water. I've been thinking. I know your husband left you. But I've been thinking. I know you're having trouble in your home. I've been thinking. I know your children seem so far from the Lord. I've been thinking. It cannot happen until you think it. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. We all like to stop there. Especially as Christian Baptists talking about sanctification. But we don't go to the next verse. Be not conformed to this world. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. That will keep him in perfect peace whose is stayed on him. I've been thinking, Howard. You know what? We're on the verge of something big. You feel it? I've been thinking it's coming. It ain't here yet, but I've been thinking, Bob. Well, I didn't know how it was going to turn out, but it turned out pretty good, didn't it? You know what? Because I've been thinking about it all day. And the more I think about it, I'll probably remember stuff that I thought I was going to say, but it ain't going to matter. Because there's no accident. It won't happen until you think it. Some of you just need to make up your mind. I'm tired of being in this man-made box. I'm going to start thinking outside the box. And I'm telling you, miracles will happen. He met a woman who was thinking just like he was. I know his ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. But if we think upon him and think about what he can do for us, I'm telling you, we can make it, folks. We can make it. I've been thinking. God's going to send a revival. I've been thinking. Man, my father-in-law's going to get saved. You know, I've been thinking. My grandpa has to go for some stents next week. I've been thinking he ain't going to need them. Is that okay for me to think that? And some of you that are here tonight that are messing around with God, you're playing games, You're fooling around. I've been thinking, you better straighten up. This is not a game. You cannot be one thing in here and another thing outside. Because you know what I think you are when you do that? What Jesus called them? A hypocrite. And how many people are you hindering from getting saved? Because you're not thinking at all.